In the gospel reading today, we hear about the man who sowed good seed in his field and then his enemy who came along and sowed the weeds. When the servants asked if he wanted to pull up all the weeds, he said, no, let them grow together until the harvest. We look at that and think, well, this doesn't sound so good. We all know that weeds tend to do better than the plants that we put in. They're going to take a lot of the water. They're going to take a lot of the nutrients from the soil. Oftentimes, they block the sun so that the plants that you put in your garden don't even get the sunlight because the weeds get it instead. Well, we look around at what's going on in the world. We recognize, of course, in this particular setting, that God is the one who has planted good seed. And he's planted that inside of you and me. Indeed, we are to be the plants that God has planted, to bear good fruit that is going to give glory to God. And yet at the same time, the devil has done his work, planting all kinds of bad stuff. Now, instead of simply looking at it in one way of, well, we're the good guys and then there are those bad ones, we can look at it even from a different perspective, and that is just looking at the virtues and vices that are in each one of us. God wants us to be holy. He wants us to be virtuous. We hear that in the first reading. St. Paul talks about how we have to have mercy and kindness and humility and meekness and patience and forgiving and charity and all the different things that he talks about. And the devil, of course, is right there, trying to do exactly the opposite. And so we look at what goes on in our own lives and we see that struggle that is within. And we have a choice to make. Do we really want the virtuous life? Do we really want to grow in holiness? It's a fight if that's going to be the case. Because we know that vice is a whole lot easier than virtue. It takes a lot to be able to grow in virtue, and it hardly takes any effort at all to be able to grow in vice. And so we have to make a real choice to be able to say that I want to grow in virtue, I want to be holy, I want to be a child of God. Now in the world in which we're living, that's not an easy thing. It's an uphill battle, and we all know that. And we could look at it on one hand and say it'd be a whole lot easier if God would just remove all the evil. It would be a whole lot easier. And it wouldn't mean a thing to us. The only way that we're going to grow in virtue is to have the opportunity to use it. And so having all this evil in the world, God is giving us lots of opportunity. And that's the way we have to be able to try to see it. If God is going to allow both the good seed and the bad seed to grow together, then he's leaving it there for a reason. And it's not just a matter that if he pulls up the weeds, that the wheat might get pulled up with it. That's part of it. Which again is exactly the point I was just making. If he pulls up all the weeds, we don't have any reason or any impetus to really grow in virtue. Because everybody around us is going to be kind. Everyone around us is going to be merciful. Everyone around us is going to be meek. And so we can think that we are virtuous at that point. But we're really not, because we haven't really had to practice it. And so God allows the evil to give us the opportunity to make that choice. And in making that choice, he gives us the opportunity to actually grow in virtue and in holiness. Now the hard part is, and this is what we're living through now, it's one thing if the pagans are a bunch of jerks, if we want to look at it that way, and boy, they make our lives difficult, and so on. But we at least expect that if we are within the church that we're going to have support. And where it hurts the most is when the very people that we think should be supporting us are the ones who attack us. And that's exactly what we're living with right now. People are constantly frustrated with what's coming out of Rome because the pagans are really wonderful and conservative Catholics are really horrible. But again, what we have to be able to see is because those are the ones that hurt the most, those are the ones that give us the greatest opportunity to grow. We expect that we're going to have to deal with the enemies of the church. We don't expect that we're going to have to deal with the people that are supposed to be our supporters, that are supposed to be on the same page, that we're supposed to be moving forward together, helping one another to grow. But I can tell you from years of experience, those are the ones that help us to grow the most, because they're the ones that hurt the most. So God is allowing this, even within the church, to be able to help us to grow. So we can all look at our own situation then and ask ourselves, all right, just look at what St. Paul is beginning with. Mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. When you see the things going on, does that sound like you? Look what happened to Bishop Strickland yesterday. And ask yourself, what's your response? Are we angry? Are we lashing out? Where's the mercy? Where's the meekness? Where's the kindness? You see, if all we do is return fire for fire, what good is that going to do anybody? What we have to be able to do is see things from God's providential point of view. Number one, it shows us where we are in the church right now. In case anybody wasn't sure, it's being made very clear for everybody to see. Number two, we have to recognize that this is actually a great blessing for Bishop Strickland. Oh, it's a horrible injustice. Don't get me wrong, the injustice is unbelievable. But this is happening because he is faithful. Because he has been faithful to God, the Lord is allowing this to happen to him to be able to help him to grow in holiness. Now that sounds a little counterintuitive to most of us. Most of us want to think that if we're faithful to God, he's going to bless us with all kinds of good things. Look at the life of Jesus. Look at the life of the apostles. Look at the lives of the saints. And you recognize that in God's providence, the good things are actually what is the best. And what is the best is what's going to help us to grow in holiness. So if there were all kinds of accolades that were being heaped upon the bishop, if there were all kinds of niceties, well, that could actually make him proud, and that could actually make him selfish. And that could actually turn against him. But when he gets attacked, when he is treated unjustly, that gives him the opportunity to be merciful, to be humble, to be meek, to be patient, to be charitable. All of the things that's right there in what St. Paul tells us. Once again, just like us, he expects that he's going to be treated that way by people who hate the church. He doesn't expect that he's going to be treated by that way by the people who run the church. And yet that's exactly what we have going on. So we have to be able to acknowledge the injustice, but don't treat injustice with injustice. Don't treat a lack of charity with lack of charity. We have to be able to be saints. We have to rise above these things. And we have an opportunity as we look at these kinds of things to do so. Yes, if there's an opportunity to take some action, absolutely do so. But do so with charity, not with anger. Do so with mercy, not with, I have a right to be angry. No, we don't. If anyone had a right to be angry, it was Jesus. Did we see that on the cross? Did we see that in the Passion? No. We're supposed to be imitating him. And so that's what God is looking for from us. So right now, we're getting it from all sides. We're getting it from the outside. We're getting it from the inside. That makes it far more difficult, which means that there is a greater opportunity for growth. Yeah, we can look at it on one hand and say it's a pain, and it is. But you can look at it the other way and say no pain, no gain. If we don't have the opportunity to grow, we're not going to. So if God wants you to be a saint, and he does, and he doesn't want you just to eke your way into heaven, he wants you to be a great saint, then he's going to give you opportunities to be a great saint. And that's exactly what he's doing. Which is why St. Paul tells us that we should be rejoicing in these things. Now, on the surface, they're not a cause for joy. It's unjust. How can we rejoice in an injustice? Look at that cross back there. How can we rejoice in an injustice? Because God brings good out of evil. Because what's happening to this poor bishop is going to help him to become a saint. Because what's happening to the church is what's going to make you and me saints if we are willing to cooperate. But that's a choice we have to make. God wants us to be saints. He is allowing the evil to be there precisely for that reason. I suppose if we were to look at it back on the weeds and the wheat idea, you'd have to say if the wheat is going to be able to survive and do well, it has to learn how to compete with the weeds. It has to be able to get the water. It has to be able to get the nutrients. It has to figure out how it's going to get the sun. Not that plants can figure it out, but putting that into a human perspective. In other words, it's going to make it stronger. It's going to make it tougher. But we have to be careful that tough doesn't mean mean. We have to be careful that tough doesn't mean uncharitable. We have to be strong, but we have to be merciful and meek and humble and patient and charitable. God's not asking an easy thing from us. In fact, he's asking something extremely difficult, which is why I said a minute ago, he's not asking you to just barely make it to heaven. He's asking you to be a great saint. Now that said, understand that as we proceed through this, most people don't want it. So ask yourself, do you want to be a saint? I don't mean do you want the title in front of your name, who cares? Do you want to be holy? Do you want to do the will of God? Do you want to grow in virtue? I've told you before, there has never been a better time in the history of the world to be alive if you want to be a saint. We should be rejoicing. I haven't heard a lot of that from very many people. A lot of complaining, a lot of whining, but not a lot of rejoicing. So I recommend reading the New Testament Because in every single book of the New Testament, it talks about suffering. And it talks about it in terms like, count it pure joy when you are involved in any kind of trial. Rejoice in the measure in which you share in Christ's suffering. You see, the apostles aren't saying, oh, these mean people, look at what they're doing to us, it's so unfair. No, they didn't do that. They rejoiced. Remember when the apostles were brought before the Sanhedrin? Once again, the very people who should have been supporting them, and instead, they got flogged. And what does it say in the Acts of the Apostles? They went home rejoicing that they were found worthy to suffer on behalf of the name. They weren't saying, poor me. They weren't saying, oh, that high priest, what a jerk. No. Did they recognize it was unjust? Absolutely. But their response was very different from ours. In other words, their response was mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, charity. All the things that St. Paul talks about. And St. Paul isn't talking in a vacuum. Look at what he had to endure. Yes, he had to deal with it from the pagans. He had to deal with it from the Jews, the very people that should have been supporting him. And he had to deal with it even from some of the Christian people. So do we. This is how God makes saints. So we have a choice of how we want to look at it and how we want to deal with it. And we need to look then at how we treat one another. Again, it's one thing looking at it and saying, oh, look at what they did now and look at what those people did. What about us? How do we treat one another? Are we supportive of one another? Are we helping one another? Are we building one another up? Or are we tearing one another down? I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago, and one of the speakers was asked a question. He talked about how they had to change parishes. He said, because we were in this parish, and my family was treated so badly that we finally had to pack up and go. So that's the parish we wanted to be at. But we weren't accepted. The people treated us like trash. So we need to be very careful as we look at this to be able to say, how are we treating one another? What's our disposition toward one another? Because we're all getting attacked from all sides. We need to be supportive. Once again, as I was saying, it's the very people who should be supporting us that make it the most difficult, then let's not do to one another what somebody else is doing to us. So we want to be very careful, which is why St. Paul is talking about these virtues that we have to have. We have to have these virtues toward the very people who are attacking us. And we need to have these virtues toward one another. Because we're all in this together, and we all need to help one another. So once again, to be able to see what God is doing, he's giving to each one of us a phenomenal opportunity to grow in virtue, to grow in holiness. In other words, to become saints. Don't waste it. Accept it, embrace it, rejoice in it, and let God work within you. So yes, acknowledge the injustice, acknowledge the evil. We don't want to bury our head in the sand and act like it's not happening. But rise above it. Don't let it pull you down. God's allowing the weeds and the wheat to remain precisely to make the wheat into saints. So rejoice in the situation. Look at what God is doing. Yeah, evil is doing all kinds of injustice. God brings good out of evil. Watch what God is going to do, not only in the life of somebody like Bishop Strickland, in your life and in mine, because he wants for us the same thing he wants for the good bishop. He wants us all to become saints, and that's why he has put us in this situation, and now he is asking us to make a decision of how we're going to respond, of how we're going to grow, how we're going to cooperate with his grace, to be able to accept it, to be able to embrace it and rejoice in it, and to become the saints that God wants us to be.